Hey, we're on. We are live. Covered up. All right, so we're going to continue with our reading of the Mana Shiksha. We're on verse 3 of the Mana Shiksha. You have that on your phone, the Mana Shiksha? Or are you just recording?
I found some, but
it's probably not the same complete edition, so.
It's from Iran.
I don't know.
But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary is there.
Yeah, but it's not going to be the same. This is actually bona fide translation. ISKCON translation. Verse 3. All right. So we're going on reading the Mana Shiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami. Translation, and the commentary is by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So verse 3, and remember we read this according to the Jagannath Ashtaka. Ayadi chera vasam raja bhuvi sa rajam prati janur yuva dvandvanta chet pari charitam arad abhilashe Sarupam Shirupam Saganam Ihatasya Grajamapi Sputam Premna Nityam Smaranam Tada Twam Shinumana. Okay, the translation is, listen, O mind, Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. Listen, O mind, if you desire in every birth to reside in the land of Braj, with loving attachment and to serve the youthful couple, Sri Sri Radhakrishna in close proximity, then clearly remember and offer obeisances to Sri Swarup, to Sri Rupa, and his associates in Vrindavan, and to Sri Rupa's elder brother, Sri Sanatana. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Bhajana Dharpana commentary. Purva Bhakshanam is beginning. This verse addresses whether or not it is possible for someone to attain residence in Vrindavan with spontaneous love, ragatmika bhakti, if one accepts initiation diksha and instruction, shiksha, from any of the Vaishnava schools, sampradaya. So then he gives the shlokartha, the meaning of the important verses, or the important words. Of course, they're all important, but the meaning of the most substantial words in the verse. One, ragatmika bhakti. We will first consider the words in this verse, Surajam, which refers to Ragatmaka Bhakti. The practice and perfection of pure bhakti is categorized into three states, Sanana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami's conclusions in this matter is explained in the following verses. And of course, that's the famous verses that were familiar with the Do Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sango Ta Bhajanakriya Tato Narta Nirvitti Shat Tato Nishta Ruchis Tata Atat Shakti Stato Bhavas Tata Prema Bhayun Chitaha Chati Sadakana Mayam Premna Parabhavai Bhavet Kramaha. Sadhana Bhakti begins with faith, Shraddha, followed by association with pure devotees, Sadhu Sangha. Engagement in devotional service, bhajana kriya, removal of unwanted desires in the heart, anartha nivritti, firm faith in the process of bhakti, nishta, experience of taste in performing activities of bhakti, ruchi, feelings of affection towards the Lord, asakti, attainment of deep attachment to the Lord, bhava, and attainment of spontaneous love for the Lord, prema. These are the stages of attaining pure love of Krishna for the sadhaka. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first chapter, first part, text 4, verses 15 to 16. So sadhana bhakti, which is performed during the devotee's stage of practice, is divided into two categories. These are vaidhi bhakti, or regulative devotional service, and raganuga bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service. There is subtle difference between subtle. There is a subtle distinction that is maintained between these two categories of practice and a different result at maturation. Srila Rupa Goswami gives his definition of regulative devotional service, Vaidhi Bhakti, as follows. When engagement in bhakti occurs solely by the discipline given in scriptures and not due to spontaneous attraction or attachment, such practice is known as Vaidhi Bhakti. Due to being restricted, maryada, by the strong statements of the scriptures, some people call Vaidhi Bhakti the path of scriptural restriction, maryada marg. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 126 and 269, Rupa Goswami describes spontaneous devotional service or Raganuga Bhakti as follows. And I'll just give the translation. The eternal residents of Braj possess such engagement in bhakti as a follower of the eternal residents of Braj is known as Raganuga Bhakti. To better understand Raganuga Bhakti, we must define Ragatmika Bhakti first. Bhakti composed of spontaneous attraction to Lord Krishna according to one's natural inclination to love is known as Ragatmika Bhakti. It can be based either on amorous attraction or on other relationships, that is, parents, friends, etc. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2, 270-273, it is stated, who is qualified for Raganuga Bhakti or spontaneous Braja Bhakti? In this regards, Srila Rupa Goswami has given his conclusion. The Ragatmika variety of one point of devotion is found solely in the residence of Braj. Those sadhakas who are eager to obtain a similar mood are eligible candidates for Raganuga Bhakti. A symptom of the emergence of this spiritual greed is that one's intelligence immediately becomes attracted to the mood of the residence of Braj on hearing about its sweetness without caring for scriptural injunctions or instructions or logical arguments. In contrast, a person eligible for Vaidhi Bhakti depends on scriptures and logic until bhava or prema has arisen. One who is eligible for Raganuga Bhakti, always meditating on Sri Krishna and his devotees, should choose a dear associate of Krishna that is favorable to one's mood, and residing in Braj, become absorbed in hearing the pastimes of that devotee and Krishna. One who desires to obtain the specific mood of a particular resident of Braj should perform service externally in the form of a sadhaka and internally in the form of a siddha according to the mood of that eternally liberated devotee. An intelligent devotee should consider the limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti, such as hearing and chanting, as limbs of Raganuga Bhakti also. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated, when devotional service and practice matures, one is endowed with the stage of Bhava Dasha, also known as Rati or strong attachment. Srila Rupa Goswami describes Rati as follows. When this Rati, Samartha, or in which the desire for enjoyment attains oneness with Rati, attains maturity, it becomes Mahabhava. It is a difficult state to obtain for devotees in general and even for the liberated souls. When Samartha Rati becomes intense, it is called Prema. On becoming more intense, Prema turns successively into Sneha, affection, Mana, indignation, Pranaya, love, Raga, attachment, Anuraga, higher attachment, Bhava, ecstasy, etc. This intensifying is just like sugarcane, which progressively turns to juice, jaggery, candy sugar, ordinary sugar, white sugar, and refined white sugar. The root of all these transformations is the sugarcane. Similarly, prema is the root of all the such transformations, such as sneha and mana. Thus, devotees sometimes use the general term prema for all of these transformations. There are unlimited varieties and details in such prema due to the unlimited variety in the living entities. Whatever variety of prema arises in those devotees who are in amorous love with him, Krishna reciprocates with them in the same way. To answer the original question with deeper analysis of the love which is connected to the Shringara Ras of Raj, we can understand that this prema is not generally available from other sampradayas, and then only to a small degree. For this reason, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami instructs all practitioners who desire to attain the mood of the Brajavasis to accept Sri Swarup Damodar, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, and all the other recipients of Sri Chaitanya's mercy as their instructing spiritual masters. So the next word, Prati Januhu, life after life. Generally, it takes many lives to perfect spontaneous devotional service with symptoms of pure love. However, with mercy, perfection can happen very quickly. The books of Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami shower jewels of service to Radha Krishna upon their readers. So that's the end of the commentary. He just picked like two expressions here to explain. So, any questions about Raghunuga Bhakti, Radhatmika Bhakti, the different stages of prema that are described here? Any questions or comments? Yeah.
Can you repeat with your own words in short the subjects?
The subject is, okay, I'm going to paraphrase the verse, if that's what you want. That it's praying to the mind or instructing the mind that if you actually have as your goal to live in Braj, in other words, to live in your mind or in your mind and body, but not just the body, because as we described in the previous verses, to live in just your body and not your mind is not living in Braj. But if you desire to do that and you desire to have loving attachment to the couple, Shishi, Radha, Krishna, then the only way to do that is to simply follow the instructions and remember the great devotees who were serving Lord Chaitanya, specifically Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, associates, and his associates in Vrindavan, and also Sanatan Goswami, and of course, it's not mentioned here, but the Raghunath Das Goswami, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Raghunath. Rupa, Sanata, Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So all these different Goswamis, we should remember them, hear about those pastimes, and follow their instructions. And of course, as we mentioned before, that Raghunath Das Goswami actually was a follower of Swarup Damodar Goswami. He was put under Swarup Damodar Goswami's care. So in other words, in order to understand Radha and Krishna, one has to approach the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And of course, that was summarized in something that I mentioned today, that if you want to, or yesterday, if you want to become free of material desires, then you approach Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is representative. Lord Nityananda is Balaram. And spiritual masters representing Lord Nityananda. Then you become free of material desires. Then you come to the ecstatic platform by approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then you come to the stage of pure love of God, understanding the residence of Vrindavan by approaching the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Does that make sense? So here's basically the same thing is being said here in this verse. And of course, also mentioned is that you cannot actually attain, let's say, residence of Vrindavan or understanding of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna by following another sampradaya. Now, just rarely it mentions here one may, but it's actually not the usual procedure. And even we have the case of Baladeva Vidyabhushana, who was basically initiated outside of our line, and then he took siksha eventually from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur to actually approach, I mean, of course, he's an internally liberated associate, but to actually show us how to approach Radha and Krishna. So one has to follow this line. We have the best line. No one comes to Radha and Krishna except through us. Not because, precisely, except through our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Does that make sense? And even you may say, okay, Pushti Marg, they're worshipping Radha Krishna. So generally, they like to worship Gopal, Lalu Gopal. You see the Pushti Marg people walking around with Lalu Gopal. But they also worship Radha and Krishna. So they're also, in one sense, in our line, because Balabhacharya took initiation from Gadadhara Pandit Goswami and instructions from Lord Chaitanya. That's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, any other questions about these esoteric topics?
So, it's mentioned that it takes a couple of lives to attain this.
Except when one gets the mercy of these devotees. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah, I wanted to mention that as well. So, then it...
Not a couple of lifetimes, many lifetimes, yeah.
Yeah. So, from that follows that we should apply ourselves very intensely. This is an intense program if you want to take one life.
Intense program. But intense program means surrendering our false ego, too.
Yes, so...
That we should not impose upon Krishna our idea of intensity. We should go with Krishna's idea of intensity.
Meaning?
Well, you should probably follow the order of the spiritual masters. That helps a lot. That helps to a certain extent.
So,
you know, we may have our idea, you know, intensity should be just like stay at Radhakund and just chant until we achieve pure love of God. But Krishna may have the idea that we should go out like Prabhupada did, go out and preach Krishna consciousness, risk our life, become fearless in spreading Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, but then side by side we can develop this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Say internal bhajan.
Yeah, this internal bhajan is done at the same time we're doing all of our external. The internal bhajan should be done very intensely, but not to interfere with the service we're doing for Krishna externally. And you see that actually Srila Prabhupada pushed the devotees to go outside of what we would call their comfort zones, which is interesting. And we all have to go, I mean, just like right now, you're worried about America, what's America like? Do they have vegetables there? I'm just teasing. Prabhupada didn't even know whether America had vegetables. He brought like these dried oats with him in case America wasn't any food there for vegetarians. He thought it was like Germany where people just sit downstairs in their basements and eat pigs with apples in their mouths all the time. I mean, that's not exactly Germany. You know, sauerkraut and knockwurst. So anyway, so... isn't it?
East Germany, not so much.
Not so much. West Germany was like that. One of my godbrothers, Prithu Prabhu, was telling me that when he was young, they had a dungeon downstairs and they would have this big pig. And the pig would have an apple in his mouth. And everyone would sit around the pig.
That's an aggression.
No, they would eat the apple and eat the pig.
Yeah, I mean, what's an...
They would eat the apple too, and the pig, as they were sitting around, they would carve up the pig with an apple in his mouth. So Prabhupada didn't know that. So Prabhupada really went outside of his comfort zone more than any of his godbrothers on the order of the spiritual master. And then Prabhupada inspired us, all of us, to do that, you know, go to different continents, like I was going to South America without speaking a word of Spanish and heading up the preaching mission there and doing so many things with Prabhupada that were really outside of my comfort zone. You know, I was brought up in a very nice, posh environment where we had, you know, nice beds to sleep on and everything. And as soon as I joined the Hare Krishna movement, there was no hot water to take a bath with. There was no, you know, you just sleep on the floor. You had to share your clothes with like 30 other people in the same room. And you didn't know what sort of clothes you would get the next morning, whether they would fit, the shirt would fit, or wouldn't fit. Because all just like in a big box. There was a box of shirts, there was a box of socks, there was a box of underwear, a box of everything.
That was a little too much.
Yeah, but we were ready to do that for Prabhupada. That was outside of our comfort zone. And it was good training. It was actually really good training for us. And that way one becomes a bhaya sattva samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vavastitahi. You understand? One becomes free of fear. So once you be ready just to like strike out in the world, and Prabhupada was empowered more than anyone else. I mean, I have this saying that I've been, I sort of invented the saying, that Prabhupada was the chosen one to carry out his service, the service for the spiritual master, to spread Krishna consciousness all over, because he chose to be the chosen one. How did he choose to be the chosen one? He chose to follow the order of his spiritual masters, his life and soul. Whereas the other god brothers, they weren't. Not to criticize them, but it wasn't to the extent of Prabhupada. So that's really Prabhupada's specific example for us. Prabhupada chose to be the chosen one. In other words, we can all be the chosen ones. It doesn't have to only be one. I mean, actually, Prabhupada's godbrother, like 10 of them could have chosen to go to the West. He didn't. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't reserve that instruction just for one or two people. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't thinking only one should go. He would have been very happy. In the beginning, actually, he said three. But he would have been very happy if 10 went on their own initiative and went to the Western world and preached Krishna consciousness. And then it would have made a vast difference. And that happened, but Prabhupada chose to be the chosen one. So?
So we can choose to go back home, back to Galilee.
Or we can choose to stay here.
We
can choose to go back home.
Fully Krishna conscious.
Yeah, we can choose. Krishna is equal to everyone. Samaham sarvabhuteshu namidvisho stinabriyah. Krishna doesn't have favorites. It's not that someone is Krishna's favorite, except for Radharani, of course. And the, you know, Raghavmaka devotees. But, you know, as far as us are concerned, Krishna doesn't have any favorites. Krishna's equal. So we all have the equal opportunity to go back to home, to attain pure love of God in this lifetime. We just have to choose to do it. Consciously choose. And that means going outside one's comfort zone. You know, we all do that, you know, at least in the beginning days, that was the training we all had. You go out just outside your comfort zone, you travel in a van distributing Prabhupada's books when it's in centigrade, it's like 10, 20 below zero. You wake up in the morning and everything's frozen. I'm sure in Scotland you've probably experienced that. And everything's frozen, and then you just have to chant your japa in the morning, huddled in a blanket like that. You know, just like your breath, you can see your breath. Christ is warm. But anyway.
It goes up to minus 20 in Porto.
I know. But usually you stay on the coast during the winter.
No. All Martins I was doing were minus.
That's good. And so.
not some I went for snow.
Yeah, some you went to Split.
Because Krish is small.
You went to
Split.
He went to Split.
Yes, to Browning.
Yeah. Dubrovnik. Oh, that's
nice. Really,
that's a vacation spot. So we wake up in the morning and everything would be ISO. We had to chant our japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, with the blanket actually covering our faces. Because otherwise your nose would get frostbite on it. So you chant your japa, Hare Krishna.
Germany,
Germany is very cold too.